Okay, so again, we are going to be looking at the book of Luke over the next several months using this book by Elizabeth George called Living with Passion and Purpose. Elizabeth George is the author of A Woman After God's Own Heart, which is an excellent book as well. And she really, we use this book as we studied, use one of these study guides. We did the book of Esther, and it was excellent. Really enjoyed looking at Esther. These books flow very easily. If you look at the table of contents in this book, you'll see that each lesson corresponds to one of the chapters in Luke. So when we look at lesson one, we'll be looking at Luke chapter one. And that breakdown is throughout the book of Luke. So it's broken into 24 actual lessons on the chapters, and 25 is basically a wrap-up of the study. So it has, depending on how you look at the book, how you study all of that, it could be done in one day, it could be done in 5 days, but it really does not require a whole lot of time to do the lesson in these books. She usually gives a quick overview of the chapter we're looking at. She breaks some of the verses down in that chapter, then draws other scriptures into the lesson. The lessons are very easy to understand and go from there. And like I said, I'll do a teaching and then we'll have a discussion on the lesson. My teaching sometimes will correlate with her lesson. Sometimes it will be, the Lord will give me something different, but on the chapter in Luke that we're studying. So that will vary from week to week depending on, you know, what the Lord shows me over the 2 weeks. So, you know, there's a foreword in here from one of the vice president of Harvest House Publishers, and, you know, just speaks to Elizabeth George a little bit and how she writes and enjoys her study. But on the next page, it would be page 8 in our books, there's the reading. It's called Before You Begin, and I do want to go through this just a little bit because I know not everybody is familiar with these books, but it says in my book, A Woman After God's Own Heart, I describe such a woman as one who ensures that God is first in her heart and the ultimate priority in her life. And shouldn't we all be there? Isn't that where we want to be in our lives? We want God to be number one and then everything else to fall in place after that. And it says, then I share that one crucial way this desire can become reality is by nurturing a heart that abides in God's word. And, you know, and the word God tells us to abide in him. And that's where we need to be. We need to be abiding in God through Christ. He is divine and we are the branches. And then she goes through a little farther down and actually almost kind of looks at a plant here, and she talks about roots, and it says roots are unseen as you go down to these bullet points in here. You'll want to set aside time by yourself, alone, with the study, alone in the book of Luke, underground, if you will, to immerse yourself in God's word and grow in him. You know, the roots are vital to any plant. That's where the nutrition comes from in a plant. And it's the second bullet says, roots are for taking in alone with your Bible in hand. You'll want to take in and feed upon the truths of God's word and ensure your spiritual growth. So even though she may not hit every single verse in Luke chapter 1, you'll on your own want to read through the entire chapter for that week, whether she touches on it or not, whether I touch it or not. You know, getting the whole counsel is important, so you'll want to get that. That's how we're nourished by his word. The third bullet, roots are for storage. You can, as you form a habit of looking into God's word, you'll find a vast, deep reservoir of divine hope and strength forming for the rough times. You know, we all have rough patches in our lives, and where do we go to for strength when those rough patches come? It's got to be the Lord, because everything else, everyone else is going to fail us somehow, but God never is going to fail us. So we know where to go when, in the good and the bad. He's the one. He's our rock. He's our support, as bullet number 4 says, roots are for support. Do you want to stand strong in the Lord, to stand firm against the pressures of life? The routine care of your roots through exposure to God's word will cultivate you into a remarkable woman of endurance. And, you know, when the tough times come in, and even in the good times, it's the roots are what hold the tree into the ground. I don't know if you've ever seen trees that have gone over and the massive root systems that hold that tree in. And if the rest of the tree is cut off, sometimes that root system so badly wants to be in the ground, it'll snap back into the ground. But those roots are vital. If they're not in the ground, that tree's not being fed. And if something becomes detached from that root system, there's no life in that part that's detached. So we need to make sure that we are adhered, we're abiding, because we want to be attached to that root system, which is our Lord. So I've chosen, you know, to use this guide as to help us along in our study of Luke. And so when we meet again, our beginning will be lesson 1, which will be Luke chapter 1, and we will discuss this lesson on January 27th. That'll be the next time we meet.
Lesson 1,
Luke 1, in this book.
That's the
27th of January, so that's 2 weeks from tonight. And like I said, really, you can do these lessons in one day if you so choose. But you might want to spread them out, a page a day or a section. She has them broken down into different sections in here. You know, you might want to do the first section, which is about a page. It goes to the middle of page 10. And then another day you might want to do the God's message part. And then, you know, you could do those 3 pages together, or you could break them down question by question, different days. However, whatever suits you best, however you study best. But then, you know, we will go through and we'll discuss. We may not discuss every question in here, but we will hit the highlights of it at least. And if you have any questions or any, you know, like I said, something that really touches your heart, we definitely want to discuss those. So now I just want to do an overview of the book of Luke and why we're going to study this book. So Luke is one of 4 Gospels in the Bible. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Gospel is, and you all probably know this, you are, you know, good students of God's Word, but Gospel means good news. And the good news is that Jesus came. He came for us. He came with the purpose of dying for our sins, ultimately to raise conquering death for each one of us, each one who would believe in him. So Luke is one of the Gospels. Luke is the author of this book. He is a doctor. And we know that because he's a friend of Paul's, and Paul calls him in Colossians 4:14, he calls him a beloved physician. And Paul calls him a friend. Another thing we know is that he was on at least two of the missionary journeys that Paul took, probably the last two that Paul took. In 2 Timothy 4:11, he says that only Luke is with me, and that's shortly before Paul's final imprisonment there. We know that Luke, and from Colossians 4:4, where Paul calls him a beloved physician, we learn that Luke is a Gentile, because he is contrasted with a few other men to those that are of the circumcision. And those that are of the circumcision, we know, are Jews. And those that are without the circumcision are Gentiles. And so Luke is a Gentile because he's listed among those that are without the circumcision. And this makes Luke, this gospel, special, because that's our vantage point. We are Gentiles. We are without the circumcision. We are not Jews. And so Luke's gospel is unique in that it speaks to the humanity of Jesus. It speaks to his being fully man and fully God. It's a very historical book. Luke was a historian. He was writing to Theophilus in the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts, and that is written to Theophilus as well. And the books are written for him after doing a great investigation, basically because Theophilus has become a believer, and he is writing to him to confirm what Theophilus is believing in. And in so doing, he confirms it to his own heart and confirms it to all of us. So he took great efforts, and he investigated the details for this book very carefully and intensely. And the first four verses of Luke speak to that. And Luke 1:1 starts, and it says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So his purpose for writing this book is to set in order the things which he has learned about Jesus, and to say they are true. And there are historians who have studied the book of Luke and have deemed it accurate based on other history that was happening at the same time. So they have said, they may not be believers of Jesus Christ, but they say that this book and the events of this book and the way that it's written lines up with history. So they say Luke is a very accurate book of the historical time that he was writing. Now, of the other three Gospels, I'm going to mention two of the other Gospels. Matthew is writing about Jesus being... His writings talk about Jesus being Messiah and King. So when you read through Matthew, his point of view is to prove the Messiahship of Jesus. Mark is writing from the point of view to show us Jesus as servant. He wants us to learn what being a servant is and how Jesus set aside the throne to serve those that he came to save. Luke's point of view, as I said, was to point to the humanity of Jesus. Perfect God coming, living as a perfect man, a sinless man, for all men, not just the Jews, but he came for all men. So that was Luke's purpose in writing this book. Now, one thing that is very interesting, but because he was so detailed in his study, is that Luke never met Jesus. He was not an eyewitness of the events that he's writing of, but he investigated, he spoke to people who were eyewitnesses of the events. He likely spoke with Mary because he was privy to information that only a mother has in her heart. And so he had to have spoken to her to be able to write those things, though we know that God's word is inspired and God could speak whatever he wanted to Luke to write in his word. But because of the specific things that Luke writes about, he had to have spoken to many of the eyewitnesses that he uses. And like I said, history lines up with what he has said. So it is believed that he had somehow interviewed Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mark, James, the brother of Jesus, that he had interviews with these people and wrote on them. Obviously, we know that he had spoken to Paul, who has information that was given for this, Silas, and many others. We look in Luke chapter 3, he gives a very detailed genealogy of Jesus, and that's important to the history of Jesus, and that's important knowing that he's a doctor. He would go through, you know, what do doctors do? When my dad was in the hospital this weekend, they're asking this whole list, and because he's never been in the Arnett system, they were starting from scratch because none of his medical records were there. And so he was asked the same questions, and, you know, they came in and they joked. It was probably, they were like, well, we're going to come in and we're going to ask you a million questions. He goes, a million questions? What about 100? And, you know, so they were going back and forth, teasing each other and stuff. But it felt by the time he was done like he answered a million questions and probably 4 or 5 times, because everyone who came in asked him the same question and over and over and over again. But that's because they want to make sure that the facts are all lining up so that you know you can trust it, right? Because, wait a minute, you said this about this, but this is what you said over here. If they're not lining up, then you can't trust it. But if they're all lining up, you can trust it. And so coming from a doctor, they know the facts have to line up, or you could mess something up. You could kill somebody if you, you know, don't have your facts straight. And so that's important to know about Luke as we look at this, that being a doctor, he is making very sure that everything lines up correctly. And there are, as we go through it, we'll find medical terms throughout the book, and very precise. Again, I said that his audience was Theophilus, who was also a Gentile, and that this book appeals to Gentiles because he talks about the fact that Jesus came for all mankind, that Jesus was a friend of sinners. The Jews didn't like to talk about sinners. You know, why are you, when they confront Jesus, they're saying, why are you sitting down with sinners when you could be sitting down with the Pharisees? We see questions like that, because that's who I came to save, you know. And so he appeals to man by saying, I came for all of you. That he was the Savior, as we know in from John, that he was the Savior of any who would believe in him. And so Luke is appealing to that group of believers or people. If you would believe in this Jesus that I'm writing to you about, you will be saved. He came for you. The dates that this book is written is probably around 70 AD, based on the time frame of when Acts was written, and being written to the same person, they're probably in similar. Acts was probably written about 68 AD, and so they're probably similar time frames. But we know that Luke was prior. The language of the book in the original was Greek that he wrote, because he is a Gentile, so it was written in Greek. It has a very rich vocabulary because he was a doctor. He paints pictures that you can, as he's telling a story, you can see it in your head because the vocabulary he uses is so great. You can picture what he is telling you as he is expounding on the events. that took place. And so, you know, there's great artistry in the book and great vocabulary. And like I said, the historians say that it's very accurate. So the outline of Luke from beginning to end, chapter, starting with chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4, Luke 1 through Luke 4:13, all has to deal with the birth, the childhood, and the early ministry of Jesus. So that's what the first four chapters do. Then Luke 4:14 through Luke 9:50 all deal with Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Luke 9:51 through Luke 21:38 all deal with Jesus' journey then to Jerusalem and the ministry that he did there along the way and in Jerusalem. Luke 22 through Luke 23:56 deal with Jesus being rejected and his death. And then Luke chapter 24 deal with Jesus' resurrection and ascension. So it's broken into those five sections primarily in the outline. And finally, why? Why study Scripture at all, right? Why have a study like this? Why gather women together? One, to encourage each other, right? To hold each other accountable, because it's so important to be in God's Word, because without it, we're nothing at all, right? But 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, and I'm going to read this from the King James. I like the way it's said. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We study because we want to know His Word. We want to draw closer to God. We study to show ourselves approved to Him. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, right? But to God, you know, Lord, I value Your Word. I want to know Your Word. I'm going to study because I want to grow closer to You, and I want to grow more like Your Son. It says, so study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we are studying God's word, we don't need to be ashamed of it. And if we're studying it, and we're learning what it says, and we're gleaning from it, and we're being taught by the Spirit as well, we can talk to others about it and not be ashamed that we don't know enough, whatever. You know, when God gives you a scripture for somebody, trust it, right? The enemy's not going to give you a scripture to share with somebody, right? He doesn't want you sharing. And so don't be ashamed if, you know, boy, you know, the Lord wants me to give you this verse. We often don't want to do that, right? Because what if I say the wrong thing? What if I mess it up? What if I, whatever, you know, share it, because it's going to minister to that person in some way. You know, I can't tell you, I've gotten texts from people and they had no idea what I'm going through. Whether it's something personal in my head or whether it might even be known by people, but because they are afar off, they have no clue. Yet they speak something to me specific in Scripture, and they had no clue. Ministers to my heart. Or there's been times where I'm like, all right, Lord's telling me to share this Scripture, and I'll text somebody a Scripture, and they'll text back and say, wow, I'm dealing with this, and that scripture confirms it. Or that's the third or fourth time I've gotten that scripture this week. I don't know. Don't be ashamed of God's word. Share it. You know, I've said this before. I think every time I have a women's study, I tell my ladies, and I'm telling you again tonight, if God tells you to do something, whether it's just to text somebody and say, I'm thinking of you, do it. You have no idea what it means to that other person. And you may never know what it meant to that person. But do it, because the Spirit's nudging you. So do it. I'm gonna encourage you in that. Do that. So, and of course, rightly divide the word. If you have a question, you're coming up on something, you don't understand it, whatever, don't be ashamed to call somebody and say, I don't understand this. Do you understand this? Hey, if I don't understand it, I'll find the answer. You know, I'll go to somebody and we'll divide it together. We'll figure it out together. So don't be ashamed to not know something either. So we'll get through this book together. And then 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to close with this, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's word has purpose in our life. It changes us. It molds us. It shapes us. It corrects us. It teaches us. We need all of that. Mm-hmm. So we need to listen to it. And that is why we're having this study. I'm not sure what God has for us in Luke, but I know that he has led, as I've prayed, me to this book for this specific group of ladies for this time. You know, we just came off of studying Esther. I know you weren't all here, but, you know, one of the most famous verses in Esther for such a time as this. I don't know what he has in Luke for us, but it's for such a time as this. So I look forward to this study. I look forward to getting to know you ladies more through this study and what he shows you. I know that I'm doing a teaching, but I'm not the only one, right? You guys will be adding, and it will be valuable what you add. And again, like I just said with Timothy 2:15, don't be ashamed to share, right? Share what the Lord is showing you because there is value in it. This group is for all of us to glean from one another, to hold one another accountable, to bless one another. So I'm really excited. I hope you guys are too, as we get into this book. So let's pray, and then we'll fellowship a little bit. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I do thank you for this specific group of ladies that you've brought together for such a time as this, Lord, as we do begin to study this book of Luke. Pray that you would use it for your purpose in our lives, Lord, that you would speak to us, you would challenge us, you would change us, Lord, you would grow us, teach us, have your way with our hearts, have your way with our minds, have your way in all that we say and do, Lord, through this book, through this study. Give us time till we meet again in your word, Lord. Answer our questions. Help us to rightly divide your word. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity. And when we need it, Lord, may we boldly come to you as your word says we can, Lord, and find help and mercy in our time of need. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.